Hey everyone, I'm Phil Smith, aka Phil the Filipino.
And I'm your co-host, Mr. Eric Almighty.
And today we're here with a special bonus episode of Stream It or Skip It. And today we're going to cover a show that I personally have been anticipating for months.
We start off with spoiler-free thoughts of the show before diving into a full discussion of Jurassic World, Camp Cretaceous.
This is the Wait For It podcast.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to a special Friday episode of the Wait For It podcast. And this is our series, Stream It or Skip It, which we've done a couple of times now. And we just had to come back and do another one for Jurassic World Camp Cretaceous, which if you've been listening to our What Did I Miss episodes over the last few months, you know that I have been heavily anticipating this show. And Eric got a chance to watch it as well. So I'm excited to hear his thoughts and let you guys know, you know, our thoughts on the show. But we're going to get into it. And Eric, I'm really proud of you for getting over your terrible fear of Velociraptors to make it through this.
It should be duly noted that I turned it off immediately within the first 5 to 10 minutes of the show. So it took a little bit of time, but I manned up and I watched it. Did I close my eyes during those scenes? I'll let you guys leave it to your imagination.
Yeah, I was a little doubtful that Eric would get all the way through it, to be honest with you, but I guess I will find out here momentarily. But if you did get through it, again, very, very proud. But without further ado, let's get right into it here. So Jurassic World Camp Cretaceous, of course, is a show that is now on Netflix. It's an animated show. It was teased about roughly a year ago, I think, Eric, is when we first started to hear about it. I'll give you guys a little bit of a synopsis. So Jurassic World Camp Cretaceous follows a group of 6 teenagers chosen for a once-in-a-lifetime experience at a new adventure camp on the opposite side of Isla Nublar. But when dinosaurs wreak havoc across the island, the campers are stranded, unable to reach the outside world. They'll need to go from strangers to friends to family if they're going to survive. So at first glance, when you hear that synopsis, Eric, I mean, it sounds like a pretty, you know, straightforward Jurassic Park, Jurassic World story. So, I'm really unsure of how this thing was going to look when we started seeing the animation style, and then you see, you know, the dinosaurs look a lot different from how the kids look and everything like that. So a lot of people were a little worried about what the theme of this show and what the tone was going to be. But, you know, now we know we're going to get into it. So I guess first we'll start off with some positives or some likes, and I'll let you go first. What were some things that stood out to you that you enjoyed about Camp Cretaceous?
Well, I'm going to go for some of the easy ones here that really just stood out from the beginning. I personally love the way that the dinosaurs looked. A lot of the human characters as well. I thought they were really, really well done. I thought the animation was really good on the show. And that was something we kind of saw from the trailers and some of the stills. But to actually see it, it was very consistent across the board throughout the entire season. And honestly, in addition to the dinosaurs, which I thought they did a lot of justice to, the characters are actually pretty good. I genuinely felt a very family bond between the kids in the show. And there were a lot of comedic moments. There were moments where I actually laughed out loud. And then there were also moments where I like gasped. Like, you know, you never, for a series like this, Jurassic Park, Jurassic World, you expect some of the same dumb decisions that end up in these moments, but those moments still kind of got me and it pulled me in. And I wasn't expecting that from what kind of appears to be a kid's show, but really it's kind of for both kids and adults to enjoy, fans of the franchise. And I appreciated that they went that extra mile to really tie it into the movie.
Yeah, Eric, you mentioned a lot of things that I really loved about this show. The humor, there's some really funny moments, and I'm really excited to get to the spoiler discussion because I'm sure we have some of those moments in mind as far as the same parts. I thought that was really good. Again, the dinosaurs look really, really great. And again, one of the things that people were worried about is the animation style of the kids, you know, up against the dinosaurs, which were more realistic, you know, in terms of what they look like in the film. And I don't think you don't really notice it too much at all. In my opinion, I thought it was done very, very well. For me, one of the things that I really liked, Eric, and I think you can appreciate this, is, you know, you love this franchise as well, but because your main franchise is Star Wars, you guys as kids growing up got to have the animated Star Wars shows, you know, that are very, very popular, that Jurassic Park, Jurassic World never got. And getting this now for Jurassic fans is a really big deal, because not only is it, you know, done very well, but also it adds to the lore and the canon of the series, which I think is really great. So, I mean, did you kind of get a little, some flashbacks watching this to when you watched like some of the animated Star Wars shows?
Well, yeah. And then while I never watched it, I mean, you know, Clone Wars is very popular with Star Wars. I've watched a little bit here and there, probably even the earlier days. I did catch a lot at the beginning, but it's really kind of things that like that, that are very simple at its core, but can really expand upon a lot of the stories. Like, I'm really excited, and we'll talk about this, but there's definitely a lot of potential, and it is set up for a season two. I'm really excited to see, with these characters in that world, what else we get to find out and what else we get to see. There's a lot of questions at the end of Jurassic World that don't necessarily get answered in Fallen Kingdom. And while I'm sure that that may happen in Dominion, it'd be nice to have these little side things happening where we can figure it out that way. You know, people go to the books sometimes, people go to comics. To have an animated show, I think it's a good way to do it. And the way they pulled this off, I'm excited for it.
Yeah, you're seeing that, you know, of course, with the MCU and Marvel doing a lot of those things. Of course, Star Wars has been doing it for years. One thing you mentioned, Eric, is just some of the moments where you did gasp and you were kind of surprised that, you know, you were able to find this actual emotional storytelling in what at its core, or I'm sorry, on its surface, looks like a kid's show. And one of the things that I loved is that they didn't hold back. Just like you said, they had a lot of discussions, the creators, with Colin Trevorrow and Steven Spielberg, and they were told, hey, don't hold back. Now, of course, for those of you wondering, you know, who do have kids, there are deaths in, you know, of course, there is dinosaurs in it. So there are human deaths in the show, but I don't believe there is any blood. So I guess, Eric, having your son being a little bit younger, my daughter is 12, and of course, she loved this. But with your son, did you decide whether or not you were going to let him watch?
Yes, I actually made the decision to let him watch it with us after I watched the first episode. Once I saw what they pretty much did, like right at the beginning, I pretty much got an idea of how they were going to handle a lot of the deaths. A lot of those were going to be off camera. And again, you really can't avoid it in media and in movies and in all of this entertainment that we have and all of these games and things like that. Like, every avenue of entertainment kind of touches on death, where you unfortunately have to have that conversation. So we've had that conversation with him. He understands, you know, what it means for someone to pass away. And also that this is not real. That dinosaurs are not currently existing. You know, they
huh?
What? Huh?
Oh, no. You're kidding. Okay.
Yeah, no. Yeah, no. So the dinosaurs that are real and, only come around when Santa also comes around, they, he understands all of that. So I thought it was pretty good. It was well done. It was handled, and he enjoyed it. Honestly, he had some anxiety at some points where he was like, "What are you doing? Get out of there!"
That's really funny to hear. I have some videos. Next time we see each other in person, I recorded Elizabeth at some specific points of the show, and I think you probably know which one I'm talking about specifically. I got to send it to you and show it to you later. So, with that being said, let's transition into some opportunities or dislikes. I want to go here first, Eric, because I want to know if maybe you have something along the lines of the same concerns. And again, all of these characters, I think, were done very, very well. I think just early on, the stereotypes of, you know, these characters were a little bit too on the nose. Now, each one of them really gets an opportunity to grow and change throughout this show. Now, that being said, there are only 8 episodes, and the episodes are about 23 minutes, so it's not a lot of time. The stereotypes is just like, yeah, I felt like some of them were a little lazy. And also, there's an episode right at the end, episode 7, where for half of it, they kind of just slow the whole thing down. And I think they wanted to do that to give more character growth, but I thought it was an odd choice to place that episode there so close to the finale. Where did you find that?
I mean, I don't think it bothered me that much. I did appreciate a lot of the character growth that does happen. I think some of the stereotypes that you're bringing up, like there's characters like Kenji, who is the rich, I'm a jerk and I'm rich, you know, and I'm going to tell everybody I'm rich. And then there's Brooklyn, who's the, ooh, I'm the social media star, my phone. And then, you know, you've got a lot of these other characters as well that, you know, like Darius, he's just the nerd who's like a dinosaur fanatic. So they all have their stereotypes. You are right. But I think they did a good job by the end getting most of these characters, maybe not all, but most of them out of that stereotype and really into their own identity which I kind of admired about the show.
Right. And what I'm hoping is, because as you mentioned, there is going to be a season two. And what I'm hoping is they get a larger episode order. So again, only 8 episodes and about 23 minutes each. I was actually able to finish this. This came out last week, Friday morning at around 3 a.m. Eastern time. And I watched all 8 of them and I was done at about 6 a.m. Yes, I have a problem. I have acknowledged it. No, I'm not going to do anything to fix it. But that being said, it's a very easy binge, I would say, if you do want to sit down. You know, my daughter and I watched it through very quickly, and each episode ends in essentially a cliffhanger where you do want to keep watching. But like you mentioned, Eric, very, very small complaint. You know, things, it didn't really bother me too much. I did think the pacing of placing episode 7 where it was a little off, but again, didn't take me away too much. And then the other thing, of course, you mentioned this in the beginning, Eric, was just some TV show logic where you think, well, why didn't they do this? Why didn't they do that? That's not going to take away from your experience, in my opinion. But there are moments where you're like, why didn't they do that sooner?
Yeah, that's actually really one of my only dislikes of the show, is that you could really just hate the franchise in general for this, because, you know, they fall into a lot of the same tropes where it's like, come on now, like, don't go down that dark, don't go in that dark area. Don't go out in the middle of the night when you're not supposed to, which while I like them, and we're going to talk about this in spoiler, but Roxy and Dave are the worst camp counselors on the face of the planet. And it's like, when you get the introduction, it's supposed to be like, oh, well, you guys are just like, kind of almost like you guys won that, you know, you won your way into this opportunity, and it's going to be so much bigger with so many more employees. But for now, it's just you 6 kids and us 2 counselors. And I think that ratio is a pretty fair ratio, if you ask me, and they just cannot handle it. So they're funny characters, but the decision making in the show to just set up moments, it did get a little eye rolling sometimes. But again, there were definitely some moments that got me, especially when you get to the second half of the season where things start to escalate.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we find ourselves pretty much on the same page there, but we really want to get into some spoiler discussions here. So let's get into our final thoughts. Eric, stream it or skip it. I'm going to go ahead and let you go first. It sounds like we're pretty much on the same page, but what are your final thoughts before we get into some of these spoiler discussions?
Yeah, Phil, so for me, just being a Star Wars fan, I'm used to seeing really good animated series, so I heard a lot of the hype around Jurassic World Camp Cretaceous, and I really didn't know what to think of it, especially the mixed signals I was getting. Was it going to be a kid's show, or was it going to be very dark? I'm glad to be able to tell you guys that it's a little mixture of both, but it doesn't ever go too dark to where you can't enjoy it with your kids or your family around, and I think that's some of the charm that this show has a little bit more than the movies do. Yes, it has your normal tropes. Yes, it has some problems with characters at first, but I think they really develop a lot of time and effort into these characters that by the end, you're really excited to see their adventures and what's to come. So for me, I gotta say, this is definitely a stream it type show that you've gotta just check out. You've gotta enjoy. It's only 8 episodes and they're very short. They're all under 30 minutes, which, if you know anything about me, is my favorite time to watch stuff. If it's under 30 minutes, it's honestly no excuse to not check it out at least. So add it to your queue, check it out, and let us know what you think. If you liked it or didn't, you can yell at us later.
Yeah, Eric, I echo literally everything that you just said. There's so much in here for everybody, not just hardcore Jurassic World and Jurassic Park fans. Ultimately, Jurassic World Camp Cretaceous gives Jurassic fans what they've always wanted growing up, which is a fun animated story with just the right amount of seriousness that does a good job at expanding the lore of the franchise. So for those of you that were a little apprehensive because of the animation style of the human characters, don't be. While this is a children's show aimed at tweens, there is definitely plenty to enjoy for all ages. Depending on your child's exposure to violent TV shows or video games, I would say tread lightly in terms of showing them the show, because there are definitely some light horror elements that are explored here. All in all, this is an absolute must-watch for all Jurassic fans, and I cannot wait for them to expand on this universe and these characters in the seasons to come. So just like Eric, this is absolutely a stream it. So let's get into some spoiler discussion here, Eric, because I think we have a lot to talk about. Before we begin, though, you know, we want to thank you guys for listening. Make sure you head over to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, Buzzsprout, and now Amazon Music, and wherever else you listen to your podcasts, and subscribe where you can. This episode, along with pretty much all of our episodes, was recorded using Squadcast. So if you are interested in recording your own show, check out our affiliate link over in the show notes. You can also get to us on Facebook and Instagram at Wait For It Podcast and on Twitter at Wait For It Pod. So, Eric, what are some of these things that you wanted to point out? I've been wanting to talk to you about this for so long. The scene when they are in the gyrospheres and Kenji is spinning around in a circle, just giving the camp counselors that dead eye look is one of the, I laughed so hard on that scene.
Yeah, it was really good. His relationship with Ben, again, one of those stereotypical things that turns into something really sweet. I think it really softened Kenji. Kenji is a character I definitely hated from the beginning. And of course, he's that stereotypical asshole that you're supposed to hate. But with his kind of relationship with Darius and then Ben, I really enjoyed Kenji. And by the end, he really kind of turned out to be one of my favorite characters, if I'm being completely honest.
So am I alone? Because I didn't look at the IMDb or anything before the show. They never mention what Kenji's last name is. Was I alone? Did you think that he was either a Masrani or a Wu?
I definitely thought that in the first episode when he was revealed coming out of a helicopter, I thought he was Masrani's son. It would have made sense. And you probably could have gotten away with it. But he kept referencing that his father just owned a bunch of condos on the island. So I don't really think that there's a connection. But, you know, he also didn't name drop anybody, like, and that last name could be somehow revealed later on. So who knows? That card's still there to play.
Right, for sure. You know, we mentioned this earlier. All the voice actors did a really good job, which really isn't surprising because when you look at their backgrounds, they've all had a lot of they've already had a lot of work in either just normal acting or voice acting. So it didn't surprise me that they all did a really solid job. I know, was the gasping part, did that come when Ben fell from the monorail?
I didn't just gasp. I like almost like, I'm not going to say I almost cried, but I definitely felt emotions that I wasn't expecting to feel on the show because the second they pan slow motion, I'm like, are they really going to kill one of these children? Or are they really going to do that? So I'm looking at Grayson like, oh man, I'm going to traumatize you. So then Darius grabs his arm and I'm like, okay, cool. And they end the episode. I'm like, okay, cool. Ben's fine. And then they start off the episode with Ben falling and it's so dramatic. And I'm like, he's probably alive, but the whole thing scarred me. And then they lost, what's his name? Bumpy. Then they lost Bumpy.
Bumpy, yeah.
I was just losing my mind watching it. And this show did such a great job by the end to make me invested. That's really what it was. I was invested.
Yeah, that's the video that I have of Elizabeth just like with her mouth agape, wondering if that really just happened. She literally said almost what you said. She said, did they really just kill a kid? Because like that's something you don't see in the Jurassic universe. It does not happen. And I really found it funny that like all these kids I grew to care about. I think Brooklyn was definitely one of my favorites. Of course, Darius is going to be on the top of the list and we'll get to him in here in just a moment. But I really like Brooklyn. Again, they all had really great chemistry and character building throughout. There were parts in the trailer that I watched where I was like, how in the hell did that happen? But the part where they ended up in the Mosasaur tank and when you see how it happens, I was like, oh, okay, well that makes sense now. Because when I first saw it, I was like, no way that they just went in there voluntarily.
Yeah, and there were a lot of things like that kind of bothered me. And like I said, I know we might as well just jump into Darius now because I feel like we're going to feel a little differently on Darius because I'm going to be honest, he does some dumb shit. Like if I'm just being honest, he does some dumb shit throughout the entire show. And like Kenji has the excuse because he's like playing a douchebag. And then, you know, some of the other characters like Brooklyn is all for the next big thing that she can put on her on YouTube or social media. And then you have Sammy who's obviously has those other intentions, but it just doesn't make sense. Some of the things that he does when he's supposed to be like this dinosaur fanatic and he's doing this, like the thing with him and his father was really sweet. And I actually thought it was very well done, but like that just didn't make sense. The things he was doing throughout the show, if that's kind of his drive, like you finally got to Jurassic World. Why are you just completely fucking up every time you do something? Like you're making a terrible decision. I get it's for the sake of plot, but Darius's decisions for the most part bothered me more than the camp counselors, which they were just there for comedic relief and to let the kids be by themselves so they could get into trouble.
Yeah, and I think one of those things you're referring to is not listening to Sammy, who I believe he definitely knows that she has this experience, you know, with her family's cattle farm, that she would You know, you'd think that he would listen to her, but just like you said, I think he gets a little arrogant in his dinosaur knowledge, and I think maybe that's where that comes from. The one thing that really frustrated me, and it when it finally happened in season 7, is when they go into the tunnels, and I was like, why didn't you do that from the beginning?
Yeah, not season 7, episode 7. Just, you know,
episode 7. Sorry. That's how worked up I got.
We're not that far in, but yes, there were definitely things like that where, you know, it just kind of bothered me. Now, there were some cool things like when they're facing Toro, the Carnotaurus.
Yeah, that's an awesome character. I really loved that it wasn't just the Indominus Rex. I loved that there was a new dinosaur that we haven't really seen. It makes a very brief appearance in Fallen Kingdom. But that's a dinosaur that fans of the franchise have been clamoring for to get more shine. And I'm glad that they did that with Toro.
Yeah, and I thought they did it really, really well. And I like that he kind of had like this whole thing, like he remembered them, like, I remember you. And he kind of went at them. I thought it was really well done. The Indominus Rex was really cool. I don't know why. Maybe it's just because I really like the Indominus Rex from the original movie.
Me too.
I thought animation-wise, he was terrifying. She was terrifying. And I think that was just really, really cool to see.
Yeah, the Indominus Rex is one of my favorite dinosaurs of the series. I mentioned that in the episode I did with Clever Fangirl a couple of weeks ago. That's one of my favorite designs for a dinosaur in the entire franchise. And I was bummed that we didn't get a little bit more of her. And now with this series, we do. Of course, for season 2, she's probably gone. For spoilers for those of you who haven't seen Jurassic World, she doesn't make it. But I really liked that we got more of her and you got an idea of what she was doing, you know, throughout the entire park breakout and things like that. I'm really excited, as we've already mentioned, for season 2, because now we're going to get a newer kind of story, right? Where it's not going to be centered around the park anymore. It's going to be these kids surviving. And I know early on we were cautiously optimistic about Fallen Kingdom being that storyline away from the park, but ultimately we came away a little disappointed. Now they have this opportunity to show these kids, you know, how they survived on the island, kind of like Jurassic Park 3, where that kid was living on the island, except we want to watch it, you know.
Okay, that seemed a little harsh. And you know what, while we're on the topic of probably apologizing, I did call the Indominus Rex he. I did correct to a she, but we at the Wait For It podcast do not gender discriminate. All dinosaurs at Jurassic Park are female. It's not a guy girl thing.
Actually, I don't know if you saw my tweet, because I had to go. I was a little concerned about that because Darius was referring to Toro as he, and I thought that all the dinosaurs in Jurassic World were also all female. I went to Twitter to get an answer, and shout out to Jurassic Outpost. They did correct me. They are both male and female dinosaurs in Jurassic World. So there you go.
Well, then I recant my apology.
Yeah, so because I thought they were all female, but in Jurassic World, yep, there are both male and female dinosaurs.
Well, I don't know why I just thought about Jeff Goldblum. Well, there it is.
Very good, very nice. So yeah, a lot to like in this series. Was there anything else that in the spoiler section you wanted to discuss?
Honestly, I'm looking at the episode counts just to make sure there was nothing I missed. I was a little disappointed about the Mosasaurus. I thought we'd actually get like a good look. I don't really remember that happening. The last episode I thought was good to set things up. A lot of things throughout the show. There, again, we've kind of hit a couple notes. I think for the character specifically, there was a lot of great tie-ins to the movie, but other than Henry Wu, there wasn't any real like characters that I remember, other than being name-dropped, like Claire, of course, and Masrani. There weren't any other like characters that kind of came into it. I'd be excited to see that happen, although I don't know that that'll be the case, the way that they left things off for season 1, but I guess I would have enjoyed more of that, but I did like the tie-ins they put in.
Yeah, they mentioned by name like Dr. Ellie Sattler and Alan Grant and things like that. But again, nobody from the main story appearing other than Dr. Wu. I thought we would even get Simon Masrani. Now, of course, with the actor that portrayed him having passed away, maybe they thought that would be in poor taste. But, you know, you'd think that they'd want to pay homage to him somehow, but that didn't happen. But there is still an opportunity, I guess. I think I remember the thing I was going to mention. I find it funny that I found myself caring more about any of these kids than I did the kids that were in Jurassic World, which was Claire Deering's nephews.
That's fair. Now, when I did have to watch Masrani die again, you know, from, you know, technically off camera, that was a little hard because that actually really shocked me in the movie. I really thought he was going to play a much bigger role, like the John Hammond role. for this franchise again, and that didn't happen. So that really, seeing that again from a different lens was cool. Again, just shout out Dave and Roxy. I know I shit on them earlier because I said they're terrible counselors, but they were really funny, especially Dave. And I'll be honest, I thought they were definitely gonna die. I just had a feeling, at least Dave, I thought he was dead for sure, especially when the Carnotaurus finds them. But they just kind of played that very quickly as a comedic bit, and then they just walked away. So yeah, that was something that kind of stood out to me towards the end as they started wrapping things up. But overall, I thought the story was really well done. Again, the characters, voice acting, you know, there were some definitely cheesy moments. I guess I'll throw that out there, but it is also somewhat directed to kids. But I can definitely say it's very much pushing PG as much as they could. And I thought they did a good job at it.
Yeah, a whole lot to look forward to when it comes to this franchise. To my knowledge, they've already shot and animated and recorded what they need for season two. So I guess we'll see when it comes out. Really, really excited for this franchise. Was, you know, a little worried early on, but then the more I saw of it, got more and more excited. But, you know, I'm glad we were on the same page, and just really well done. So, you know, congrats to everybody involved. We really, really enjoyed it. So, but that being said, you guys, you know, that is our episode, the special Friday episode. We thank you so much. There's a whole lot more to look forward to. And, you know, with the year winding down, we have a whole lot of really, really fun projects coming for you guys.
And with that being said, my name is Mr. Eric Almighty. That is my co-host, Phil the Filipino. And don't forget, we release new episodes every Monday and Wednesday. And all you have to do is wait for it.
This is the Wait For It podcast. We'll be right back.